This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone. And welcome back again to our Standing Watch program. On his recent trip to the Middle East, an interesting exchange took place between Pope Francis and President Netanyahu of Israel. And you might have heard about this interesting exchange. I'd like to just quote from the Washington Post as one example, which was dated May 27. It says, perhaps the most interesting moment of the trip came during an exchange with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at a meeting in Jerusalem. The Israeli Premier and the Pope found occasion for a slight historical quibble. Jesus was here in this land. He spoke Hebrew, Netanyahu told the Pope through an interpreter. Aramaic, the pontiff immediately corrected. He spoke Aramaic, but he knew Hebrew, offered Netanyahu. The article goes on to say that neither Netanyahu nor the Pope was wrong, but the question is a matter of emphasis. There is scholarly consensus that the historical Jesus principally spoke Aramaic, the ancient Semitic language which was the everyday tongue in the lands of the Levant and Mesopotamia. Hebrew was more the preserve of clerics and religious scholars, a written language for holy scriptures. And then it goes on to say in the article that Aramaic and Hebrew are from the same family. The former script likely informed both written Hebrew and Arabic. In the age of the historical Jesus, the lingua franca through much of the Eastern Roman world was Greek. The Gospels carried down by tradition were written in Greek. And of course, then it goes on to say that Netanyahu made the comment because he wanted to create this link between Jesus, clearly a Jew, and Israel. And it appears like Pope Francis interjected because he didn't want to quite admit to that kind of a link. And sadly, Netanyahu acquiesced when he, quote-unquote, agreed with the Pope that even though Jesus spoke Aramaic, he knew Hebrew. And that is apparently the scholarly consensus. Now, let me just say that I don't care about any scholarly consensus when that scholarly consensus is not in agreement with what the Bible says. There has been scholarly consensus that Jesus Christ, for instance, was crucified on a Friday and he was resurrected on a Sunday. And of course, that is absolutely false, because if he had been, then he wasn't 3 days and three nights in the grave. There's also scholarly consensus that the flood could have never happened, at least not a worldwide flood, and they come up with all kinds of ideas as to what might have happened. There has been scholarly consensus that David never lived, that Solomon never lived, that Moses never lived, or at least didn't write the five books of Moses because allegedly he couldn't write. And all of that has been disputed because evidence has been found, archaeological evidence has been found that, of course, David lived, that Solomon lived, that Moses did and could write. And on it goes. You see, when scholarly consensus is in opposition to what the Bible says, we have to follow the Bible, because the Bible is God's words. Let God be true and every man a liar, it says. Now, how about, what does the Bible say, what language Jesus spoke? Mainly, did the Bible confirm the quote-unquote scholarly consensus that Christ spoke mainly in Aramaic? Now, of course, President Netanyahu didn't know the New Testament well enough to be able to dispute and correct Pope Francis. But I'd like to take a few moments now and read a few scriptures to you from the Bible, from the New Testament, to see what the Bible has to say about this fact. Because as you will see, even though Jesus Christ clearly knew Aramaic and on a few occasions spoke it publicly, he mainly spoke in Hebrew. And whatever the scholarly consensus might say in opposition to that, it's of no relevance if the Bible clearly proves the point. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew 27 is one of the very few occasions where Christ actually spoke in Aramaic. He was on the cross, and it says in verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying," and now it's quoted in Aramaic, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So here on this occasion, he spoke in Aramaic. Did the people who were there at the cross understood him? No, they didn't. They didn't even understand what he was saying. Because it goes on to say in verse 47, then some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Because Eli, Eli sounded to them like Elijah. They didn't understand the rest. See, this already proves that Aramaic was not the common language which was spoken at the time by most Jews. And Christ wouldn't have spoken to them when he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God to them. He would have spoken to them in a language they could understand. And so the idea like he didn't speak in Hebrew, even though he knew it, is just wrong. President Netanyahu should have known better. The Pope should have known better. Now, of course, it goes on when we turn to Luke. Let's turn to Luke chapter 23 and notice how Pilate wrote down the accusations against Jesus Christ. What languages did he use? Did he use Aramaic? Because allegedly the Jews understood that. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. In Luke chapter 23 and in verse 38, and an inscription also was written over him, over Christ, in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. So he wanted to make sure that everybody understood what the allegation, the accusation was. And he didn't choose Aramaic, he chose Hebrew, because that was a language which was understood and which was talked by most people. You see, later on, the Apostle Paul, he consistently referred to himself as a Hebrew. He didn't say, I'm an Aramaic. He talked about him being a Hebrew. You see, when he was accused in Jerusalem, when he was at the temple, that he was an Egyptian, he addressed the Jews. In what language did he address the Jews? Now let's turn to the book of Acts. Let's turn to the book of Acts in chapter 21. And let's notice, beginning in verse 38. Here it is said to him, are you not the Egyptian who some time ago raised an insurrection and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness? And then in verse 40 it goes on to say it, so when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, not in Aramaic. Now he spoke to them in Hebrew, showing that he was a Jew. And then it goes on in the next chapter, chapter 22 and verse 2, and when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And then he gave his speech of defense. But another very important scripture, which should tell all of us how Jesus spoke when he was here on earth as a man, and how he spoke when he later appeared after his resurrection to the Apostle Paul in this very famous episode when Paul was out there trying to kill the Christians and imprison them. Notice what Paul himself says in Acts chapter 26. You know, Luke, who was a quote-unquote Gentile who became a Christian, he wrote this book, the book of Acts, in the Greek. But he made very clear that people would understand how Jesus, when he approached Paul, the Apostle Paul, spoke to him. Now, Paul undoubtedly knew Aramaic. Paul says that he was the one who knew more languages than just about anybody else he knew. But notice in Acts chapter 26, and what Paul himself says, beginning in verse 14. He says, and when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. And so I said, obviously in the Hebrew language, who are you, Lord? And then he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And then he gives him a command to preach the gospel. And first he would do it by preaching it to the Jews. But when the Jews rejected it, then he went to the Gentiles. And so we see then that the idea that Jesus spoke mainly in Aramaic, and that he only, on occasion perhaps, if at all, spoke in Hebrew, is just absolutely wrong in the light of biblical evidence. So the question is, whom are we going to believe? Are we going to believe those scholarly experts and that scholarly consensus which tells us in such a way, did it happen? Or are we telling you to believe the Bible? We tell you to believe the Bible, and hopefully you make the right decision to do that. You see, there's so much confusion out there in the so-called Christian world, let alone the Jewish world and the Islamic world and all the other religions. You have to go back to the Bible to find out what the Bible tells you, because the Bible is God's inspired word to you. And the Bible also tells you some things which may be surprising to you. The Bible tells you that you got to believe in the true Jesus Christ, the one who came to die for you, the one who came to forgive you your sins. And the Bible tells you there is no other way that you can come to God than through Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in any other. And people tell you today, oh, you can just stay what you are, and you can just believe on whatever you believe, and you still are going to be saved. No. No, that is not what the Bible says. And so it is important that you understand what the Bible says. It is important that you believe what the Bible says. We have prepared a booklet on the authority of the Bible. If you have ever had questions about, is the Bible really God's true word, please ask for the free booklet on the authority of the Bible. And it will show you from the pages of the Bible that you can believe it. You will find proof that will never leave you in doubt again that this is God's word. God's word, which must be believed and which must be obeyed. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.